Okay, are we ready for the Word of God? We're starting a brand new series, and I believe it's going to be one of the most profitable series, personally, for you. Amen? You know, we're going to talk about the Bible, the incredible thing called the Bible that God has given to us. Let's bow our heads and let's ask God to bless this message today. Father, we know that when you speak to the mouths of men. But you can take the words that come out of our mouths and you can anoint them in such a way that they can profoundly change our lives. Help me, Holy Spirit, to speak your word in such a way that it does that. That it penetrates deep into our heart. That we leave here with a different attitude about the Bible today. That it changes our life as we listen to the messages coming up, that our lives will change because we've heard your word. We've believed them and we've obeyed them and we're living them out. Let the word of God do that. Starting today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to talk to you about the power of a Bible. And when I had my Bible and I forgot it this morning. I was going to bring it. You know, I thought, I can't forget my Bible. And I forgot my Bible. My physical Bible, anyway. I got one in my iPhone, but I need my physical Bible. So I'm going to pretend I've got it in my hand right now, okay? So you're going to pretend I've got my Bible right here. Okay, the power of the Bible. And this is a brand new series. I want to start off by saying this. Today, and throughout the weeks to come, I want you to lean into the Word of God. I want you to lean into the Bible and get the Bible in you like you've never got it in you before. Amen? And at the end of this series in the next month, I want to see the tremendous, incredible results that will happen when you get the Word of God into you. When you read it, you meditate it, and you begin to live it out. Amen? You know, there are many different thoughts and attitudes that people think about the Bible. There are good thoughts, and there are some thoughts that are not right. And so today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of work it around. Instead of talking about what the Bible is, I'm going to start talking. I want to tell you about what the Bible is not, okay? Ready? Number one, the Bible is not a rule book. The Bible is not a rule book. The Bible is not a book of do's and don'ts. The Bible is not something, here I got my Bible, that we take and we bash over the top of people's heads when they do something wrong. Right? That's not what the Bible is. God did not give us the Bible to control our behavior. The Bible was never given to us to create a form of religious behavior modification. That's big words, but simple. God did not give us rules so that we could just kind of live right and be right all the time. It's not about the rules. The Bible is not a book of rules. I'm not trying to tell you that. And yet, so you know, people tend to go to the rules. You know, for example, way back, originally God gave us 10 rules, 10 commandments to live by. What do we call them? The 10 commandments. But the religious people, the Pharisees, what they did was they took the original 10 commandments and they created 613 commandments from just 10 commandments. They call it the Mishvot. I'm not sure I pronounced that Hebrew, but 613 commandments, right? And so, go to the next picture. They had to learn the commandments. They had to recite the commandments. They had to read through the commandments. And you can see what's happening. I mean, really? 613 commandments we're going to go through every day and listen to? You can see the attitude of the people, right? God did not give us the Bible to be a book of rules. Yet I know there are some people who will actually focus on rules and situations so much that they become even more important than relationships. And people can do that. Okay, number two, the Bible is not a story of God's anger. The Bible is not a story of God's wrath, right? Yes, if you open up your Bible, especially if you go to parts of the Old Testament, you're going to read stories about God being upset with people, right? And there are stories written in there about God's being upset. And some people read those stories and say, God's all about wrath. But I wanted to hear, but the Bible tells you, his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor, his goodness, his kindness, his love lasts how long? A lifetime. Psalm 116:6, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. Yes, the Old Testament stories do record the judgment aspects of God. But if you read the whole story, you realize it's not about God being angry with people. It's about God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's favor, God's kindness. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, if you read the whole story, if you read the Bible, you start off in Genesis and you end up with Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus and Matthew said, you know, Jesus took those 613 commands and rules and he summarized it into basically just one command, or one command with two parts, or you could say two scriptures. What is that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. He says all the commandments, the laws and the prophets hang on those two commandments. Amen? The Bible is not a story of God's wrath. Number three, the Bible was not written by man. The Bible was not written by man. Some people say because man was involved in writing the Bible, it can't be accurate, it has to be fallible. The Bible was not written by man. Number four, the Bible is not old and it's not outdated. Don't let it become old, outdated on your shelf, right? Well, but the Bible was written over 2,000 years ago. So it's irrelevant, right? It's culturally unrelatable to, right? So Wifim, WIFM, what's in it for me? How's it going to help me today? You know, and there are a lot of mindsets like that out there. And there are many people who tend to see the Bible that way. But here's how I want you to see the Bible today. I want to give you a new perspective. Here's how I think God wants you to see the Bible. Number one, the Bible. Here's the first thing I want you to consider the Bible as being is the Bible is the most powerful, impacting, influential book on earth, bar none. Amen? Amen. You know, if you think about it, the Bible has literally transformed the world. Transformed the world. Its influence, its impact is unequal. It's unmatched by any other book, any other source of literature, any other writing. Amen? I mean, we see it today in our everyday life. You look at education. Why were schools formed in the first place? First schools were formed. Why? To study the scriptures. To talk about God. To bring God into people's lives. Why were universities created? They were created for advanced learning of the scriptures. Right? We see the Bible's influence in our social life, in the way that people interact, in the social rights, and, you know, the decor, the way we treat each other is reflected because of what the Bible has taught to society, to humanity, right? The way we have family is because of the Bible. Amen? We see humanitarian efforts, organizations like the Red Cross or UNICEF and all the things that even churches, organizations, Christians form to help people are because of the Bible. Amen? Governments have been created because of the Bible. Hospitals have been created because God touched the heart of people and they caught the spirit that mankind was supposed to help others who were sick and ailing, and even the most underprivileged have the right to be healed physically today. Amen? The Bible has impacted our world incredibly. Amen? Like no other book ever printed. You know the first book that was ever printed in the world? What was it? The Bible. In fact, that's the reason why the first printing press was created. Do you know that? The printing press was first created because They realized the Bible needed to be printed and to go out. Instead of one, a scribe sitting down and writing out every character, it was so long and so tedious. They made one mistake. They counted up the character. It was wrong. They just threw the whole thing out, started all over again. So God knew that the Bible needed to get out to the world. So he inspired a guy, a German guy named Johannes Gutenberg. You saw that picture of them. And Guten, in 1440, the first printing press was created. And that, and which caused literally the gospel to spread out like wildfire. They say since Gutenberg's first press, well over 6 billion people have read the Bible. Right? There's no other book that has been read, has been reread, has been memorized, has been quoted like the Bible. Why? So the question is, why is that? Why? You know why? Because it has the power to transform lives. That's why. You know, people throughout the centuries were willing to die for this book, right? People today are still willing to die for this book, for the Bible. Number two. So the Bible is the most powerful book ever written. Number two, the Bible is the story of God's love. It's the story of God's mission. His redemptive love mission to rescue men from sin and brokenness. Sin and brokenness. It's the story of God's mission from Genesis to Revelation. It's a story about God loving his people so much that he sends himself and comes himself in the form of his son, Jesus. And he lives a life that mankind should have lived. And he died a death that we should have died. You know, but they crucified him on the cross. But 3 days later, he rose from the grave, offering salvation and eternal life to anyone who would ask him. Amen? That's what the Bible is all about. It's a love story, a redemptive story. God coming to earth, pulling out all the stops, doing everything that he can to rescue us from sin and brokenness. God so loved us so much, he could not leave us alone. Amen? And God loves you so much, he won't leave you alone. Amen? Amen. It's all about God's love. It's not a rule book. It's to bring hope and life and to reconcile man back to God. It's not a rule book, but rather, I call it, it's a life instruction manual. It's a life instruction manual, and it's full of good advice, full of wisdom, full of clear direction for living. Psalm 108 talks about God's attitudes towards humanity. He says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity. That's God's grace. Good definition of God's grace is God giving us not giving us what we deserve. Amen? That's God's grace. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. And as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You know, the Bible is God's story. The God story of God's story going beyond all limits to rescue us from sin and brokenness. Amen? You know, we talk about Old Testament laws. Well, why were they given? You know, Old Testament laws, rules, were given by God to create a stable, an order of living in very chaotic times. I tell you, you would be really glad you were not living in Old Testament times. Because it was a time of chaos and conflict and lawlessness, right? So what did God have to do? He brought laws in order to create these stable social and economic environments, right? God brought laws in order to create a godly culture for the best possible life for people who were living in the worst possible times of chaos and conflict. That's why he brought the law in, right? But really, we have to say it is not a book of rules. For us, we have to realize, but it's filled with wisdom, filled with insight, for you and I, so that we can have a better life. Amen? We can have a better life. God wants to give us the best. For example, it's like when you first learned to drive. When you first learned to drive, you had to learn all about the lines and the lanes, right? You had to know about what the colors on the traffic lights meant, right? Unless you were a Filipino living in Manila, it seemed like. But, and then you had to learn what the stop sign was all about, what the yield sign was all about. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad there are rules for driving? Right? How many of you would feel confident pulling out of our parking lot this afternoon if there was no rules? Right? God gave us rules. Yeah, there's Ace. You're good, Ace. You're so forgiving. Yeah. John chapter 1, verse 7. God spoke to Joshua and said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written. Only then will you," what? "Prosperous and succeed in all you do." Wow, that's the heart of God, is to prosper you and cause you to succeed in all you do. God didn't give you this book to bash you on the head when you broke one of his rules. Amen? He didn't. That's not God. God wants his very best for you. Even though we live in a fallen world where bad things can happen to even believers and Christians, bad things do and can happen, I want you to never, ever forget that God is for you. Never, ever forget that. No matter what you're going through, God is for you. And you may be in that timeline when you don't even see God in the picture. And you're struggling in your faith. Just remember, God's not finished yet. Right? Give God some time. I love that scripture in Romans 8:28. You can just stand up and quote it. "In all things, God works out for good for those who are called according to his purpose." He works everything out for good. Amen? Amen. God's not finished. You know, I believe that God just wants to get his word into our heart and into our minds. Why? Why does he want to do that? So that he could prosper you and he can make you successful. Right? Do you believe that? To give you the best life possible. Right here, right now, on earth, not pie in the sky when you die. Amen? That's why he gave you the word. To bless you, to prosper you, and to make you successful in everything that you do. Number 3, I want you to see the Bible as God's infallible word and absolute truth. The Bible is infallible, it's absolute truth. Now, I know I've heard those arguments. Well, because people wrote the Bible, because God used man to write the Bible, it's got to be inaccurate. It's got to have errors and fallacies in it. No? You know, I remember years ago, I was just a young believer, and Time magazine came up with an article, and I clipped it up, but I can't find it now. It's that long ago. And I remember this reading this story where computer analysts try to prove that the Bible was written just by a bunch of people, right? That it had many authors. And so what they did was they took every scripture from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to the last scripture in Revelation, and they fed it into the Bible, scripture by scripture by scripture, into this elaborate program, this analysis. And you know what the final analysis was? Two words. One author. One author. You know? When you think about that, let's go to the next slide. One author. the Bible, 66 different books, 40 different writers, over 1,500 years to almost 2,000 years. There are over 10,000 events recorded in the Bible. But every time you look at it, it's one story, unity. There are no contradictions. In the Bible, like God claims, is written by one author. Wow, isn't that amazing? One author. So who wrote it? Holy Spirit wrote it, right? Right? It's amazing. 2 Peter chapter 1, 21. You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For Scripture, for prophecy, never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, the people, the prophets who wrote the Bible, related what they saw, what they heard, and they put it into human language. But their message was directly from God. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, all Scripture. Did it say some Scripture? Did it say part of Scripture? What does it say? All Scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the power, comprehensive ability and the power of the Scripture. Here's the biblical commentary. It says this, the Bible affects human beings so profoundly because all the Bible is God-breathed. It's more than a nice collection of moral principles. It's more than just a great book. It's an inspired document. It's God's Word. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every word in this book came out of the mouth of God and has power. The Bible is true. We said it's infallible and it's absolute truth. I say it's just like the North Star. The North Star, the true North Star. Every time navigators got lost, misguided, misdirected, and they wanted to find their coordinates and find a direction again, what would they do? They'd look to the North Star, true north. Every time they got lost, and any time, they just looked to the north, true north. And any other coordinates they said, any other directions they took were according to true north. Amen? Well, the Bible is our true north of life, isn't it? We set our life to it. When we put our hope into it, we put our hope into it. As Christians, we put our hope, we put our faith, we put our life into the Bible. And when we do that, our hope, our faith, our life grows. Amen? The Word of God. So powerful. You know that science and archaeology actually prove the Bible? They prove the Bible because they believe in it. They believe in the Bible. Maybe not all, but a lot of them do. You know, archaeologists have used the Bible as a reference in order to locate some of the ancient ruins. Do you know that? And they study it, they read it, they study it, they look at the Scripture where it talks about a town. It was close to this town, and it was a day's walk or it was a day's distance or something like that. So they would estimate the time and the distance and the cultural times in which they would walk by foot or take donkey, and they would go and look for those cities, those ruins, and bam, they would find them, right? And that's how they found the walls of Jericho that were buried under, you know, centuries of dirt and earth and everything else. That's how they found the ancient, you know, the wheels of the Egyptian chariots, you know, that were in the Red Sea as the Egyptians were chasing God's people, right, into the desert. So this is the power of the Word. Science and archaeology prove the Bible. Amen? So the Bible is God's infallible Word and it's absolute truth. Number four, the Bible is true even when it's not popular in our modern day culture. It is still true. You know, as believers, as Christians, we should not be afraid to say, this is what the Bible says. Amen? We should not be afraid to say that. You know, it's true. Bible teaching will not be popular with modern day culture. But here's the thing, it never has been, has it? And it never will be. But that does not make it less true. Amen? It's truth, and it's still truth, and it always will be true. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. The Bible is God's word. The Bible is God's will. It's Jesus, isn't it? It's true, even when it's not popular with pop culture. So preach the word. Right? Last one I want to give you is this. The Bible is relevant in its teaching, and it's transforming in its power. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is like a scalpel in the hands of God to do surgery in us. Amen? It has power. It has power to penetrate us. It has the power to penetrate our hurts. It has power to penetrate our fears. It has power to penetrate our insecurity. Amen? It's so powerful. You know, I've seen people begin to, you know, new believers begin to take in the Word of God. Begin to get it into their minds and get it into their hearts. You know, and it's the power of the word that they hear that is spoken. It's the power of the word that they read that is read. It's the power of the memorized words. It's the power of the quoted words. And the power of God absolutely changes their entire perspective and future and life. That's the power of God. Amen? You know, it's so incredible. There's power. There's power. When you could pull out a scripture that's in your heart and in your mind, and you could just declare it, and it's like raising a sword, and it breathes life into your situation. You know, and there are so many scriptures that are applicable for whatever that you're going through in life, and it could breathe life into your situation. It could change, has the power to change your situation if you believe it. And you receive it and you declare it. Amen? If you live, try to live it out. So, you know, I think about scriptures like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So whom shall I fear? Or like David quoted, if an army besiege me, yet my heart will not be afraid. The war break out against me, still I will be confident in my Lord. How about a scripture like, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen? How about a scripture like, no weapon forged against me is going to prosper, because God, you will refute every tongue that comes against me. Wow. How about for Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things. I can do, yes, God, I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who gives me strength. Wow. Powerful scriptures. My God shall meet all my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Scripture after scripture that brings life into your dark situation, and it begins to change your situation, builds your faith, and then God comes, breaks through because of your believing and by faith in Him and His Word. Amen. Faith comes by hearing the message. The message is heard through the Word of God. That's how powerful the Word of God is. The Bible, still today, is extremely relevant, and it's transforming in its power. Amen? Amen. I'm basically finished. You know, in this month, I want to help you. I want to help you develop this love for God's Word. I want to help you to get the Word of God into you. So much into you that it just comes out of you in power. Amen? And I want to help you. We want to help you become successful in your life. Amen? So I'm going to give you some homework. Is that okay? Who's up for the homework? Yeah. Amen. I like that attitude. More hands should have gone up. Homework. Homework. This is what I want you to do. Number one, read your Bible. Every single day. Get it out. Read your Bible. You should have your own personal Bible. It shouldn't be your brother's, your sister's, you know, your mother's and father. Make it yours. Go buy a brand new Bible if you want your own Bible, if you don't have one. Put your name on it so you can write in it, mark it up, note it up, crumple the pages if you want, earmark it. Get your own Bible, read it every single day. Start anywhere. You know, if you think that God is like a wrathful God, start in the book of John. Right? Start in the Gospels of John. Start reading the Gospels. Start somewhere, a few minutes every day. You know, and when you get a verse, like I quoted, write that verse out. A Bible verse springs out to you as you're reading it, write it out. God's trying to say something to you. Write it out. Put it on a post-it note and post it on the wall. Get a wall full of Bible notes. Amen? Write it out. And then number three, meditate on it. Read it, reread it, think about it, meditate it, quote it, you know, memorize it, get it into your spirit, get it into your heart. It'll transform you. It has power. Why? Why? Why should we do this? Why? Because here's why. We're going to remind you, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Who wants to be prosperous and successful? Amen. All of us do. Then get into the Word. Amen. Get into the Word. How many of you are thankful for the Word of God? Amen. Let's thank God for your Word. Thank you, Jesus, for your Word. And now you're even more thankful for the Word of God. We're gonna take a journey into getting into the Word this month. Amen? Amen? Aren't you glad you are here? You know, this is going to change your life. Amen? So, you know, maybe you're like a lot of us. We kind of lagged in the Word. But let's get back into the Word again. You know, let's see what God does. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the doers of the Word. Not just the hearers, of the doers. We believe that, Lord. We don't just want to hear and let it just drift out of our minds and our hearts. We want it to be deeply embedded in our lives. Blessed are the doers. The first thing that you need to do, and maybe you're here today, and you've never accepted Christ into your heart, that's the first thing you need to do. The Bible says that all of us are sinners and we all need a Savior. And God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for your sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is the sacrifice of Jesus' Son, and it brings eternal life. So if you're here today, you've never invited Christ into your heart, it's so easy to become a believer and to receive eternal life, to receive the gift of eternal life. Two things you have to do, basically, so simple. Just believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. And the second thing you have to do is simple. Just receive Him into your heart. So just say, God, I need You. I just invite You into my heart. So if that's you here today, you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say this prayer that will change your life literally forever. Amen? So, people are going to be listening to this message online too. So let's bow our heads and let's say this prayer all together out loud. Can you read this? All say this together. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. Today, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be Savior and Lord, Master of my life forever. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for the gift of eternal life and abundant life in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the very first time, I just want you to boldly raise your hand. I received Christ. Anybody, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I received Jesus into my heart. Thank you, Father. Raise your hand if you receive Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your presence here. Thank you for your word today. And now just give us the passion, the hunger for the word, just like hunger that we have for food. And bless us as we partake, Father. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for this day, Lord. We're so glad to be in your house today. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. We're going to close by.